Yes, you're talking about Sharia being possible to put under Obama.
Yes.
Why is it limited something under Obama?
It's interesting that Daniel and Eli were talking to me about this. I take it as a Davar Pashat. The assumption is that a rove of Nashim are not Nivalos when they're Shvuyos. If there were a rove, I would imagine when you have a rove and a Chazaka, what's the rule?
Does it matter if it's Ruv Delesa or
Ruv? Pashtus is not. Ruba Bachazaka, Ruba Adif. Amongst, I'm sure, a number of places it might appear in Shas. It appears in Yevamos, in the 16th parak, at the beginning there. So if there were a rove of Nashim who were Nivalos and Meshvuyos, I'd have to assume that the Psul would be the Oraisa. But it seems to be universally held. I'm not aware of a dissenting opinion, at least in the Bavli, and in the Rishonim, that the Psul of Shvuyos is only the Rabbanon. So on the assumption is that only a miyat of women are Nivalos, and if they say, Lo Nivalti, that they're Neimanos, Mena Torah.
How do you have here a rove and a chazaka? I mean, there's only a
chazaka
that
Shuyos
are Nivalos because...
No. The point is, it's not a rove and a chazaka. There's a chazaka that she wasn't psula kahuna until now. Or in the case of the woman who was a basula, assumed to be a basula, she was becheskas basula when she was taken captive.
Right.
So the assumption is that chazaka runs up against, if it were rove of Shvuyos Nivalos, so the rove of Shvuyos being Nivalos would override the chazaka of her being a Besula, or not being Psula Kahuna, right? not having had to be a Psula Kahuna, it would override that if in fact there were roves. So I'm suggesting there's not. So in this case, the rove is, and some level, Misayel Chazaka, you don't need the rove per se, but there's a miut that runs up against the chazaka. And so therefore, the Chachamim would say it's only Midat Torah. You certainly don't need it. If she says Lo Nivalti, that should be sufficient. There is a Shita in Rabbi Meir. It's an interesting Shita. What is Rabbi Meir's Shita as generally quoted by the Bavli? Chayshinan Lemiyuta. But Rabbi Meir says it in whatever. It's an interesting how the Bavli extrapolates it. Rabbi Meir says it in one particular case. He prohibits Yibum, Chalitza and Yibum on a Katan or Katana. Katan Shema Yimatzei Saris, Katana Shema Yimatzei Eilonis. And the Chachamim disagree. They say that a Katan Katana can do Yibum. We're not afraid it'll turn out that one of them is a Saris or one of them is an Eilonis and the Bia will be Erva because there's no mitzvah of Yibum and it'll be Eshesah. And we're not afraid to let them. Well, Katana can't do Chalitza. I think they might. You can't do Chalitza. Because a katana can't do chalitza. I'm sorry, a katan for sure can't do chalitza. Katana is not clear because ish ksiv b'parsha. So a katan can't do chalitza, but a katana might be able to do chalitza. But Rav Meir would say that she can't to allow the and then go remarry lashuk because maybe. The other women in the family couldn't rely upon the Chalitza's Katana to marry Lashuk because maybe she'll turn out to be an Eilonis, and therefore she wasn't in the Parsha Yibum Chalitza, and therefore the Yibum Chalitza done to her doesn't pat to the other wives. Okay, and as they would still need Yibum, one would need Yibum Chalitza, right? Normally when you have Yibum Chalitza, it's only one wife.
Right.
One wife you do it with, and all the rival wives are exempted, either whether you do Yibum Chalitza. Okay.
Well, So if she was only
Tosfos, then why is she not the Rabbanon? So Tosfos, by the way, was Nizar in that Kasha. Tosfos, Dibar Maschil, Ve'elu Shein Lem Knas, Agiyoros Veshuvia. Tosfos writes, Afal Gav, Demidaraisa Shvui, Lehavi Becheskes Pu'ulok, In Amrina Bechol Duchtei, Debeshvui Hekelu, Mikom Lachom En Laknas, Mishum Gzeresh, Lotinose Lekoen, Asa'ua Kebu'ula Lechol Dvareha. Okay, but Tosus asked your kasha,
right?
And your kasha is particularly a kasha in light of what that you know. The Gemara on the top of Lamed Vav Amin Aleph, right, where the Gemara said that Shnios, right? Shnios, the Gemara says, why would Shnios L'Arayos not get a knas? The answer might be according to the Manda Omar that Arayos don't get a knas because, right? So the Gemara assumed that if the psul is only the Rabbanon, that we don't treat it the same way. Right, so that was the.
You know, Rashi says that we assume she's becheskas. I don't know whether that if the word becheskas hefter is going on shvuya b'shvuyas or not, but it seems like Rashi is assuming that we have a chazaka that she's most likely been nivelas. I mean, he said it sounds like Rashi holds like nidin she shouldn't get a kenas.
So I don't think so, because I think that everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that, again, as far as I'm aware, maybe I'm just unaware, but I thought that everybody agrees that Psul Shvi is the Rabbanon. The truth be told, it wouldn't really explain the other Shita. The Kohanim were very machmir. They took what would be halachically a problematic stance. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Eduyos, in Perek Ches, Mishnah Gimel. For those of you who've never learned Eduyos, as I mentioned before, I have a personally very intimate connection to it because I wrote my dissertation on it, but I would advise, when you have the chance, just skim the Masechta. It's an interesting Masechta. So the Mishnah there says, Mishnah Beis. Oh, it's the second half of Mishnah Beis. Heyed Rabbi Yosef HaKoen v'Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav al tinokes shehur hanoa ba'ashkelon. It's a very weird word. Hur hanoa, it appears, as far as I know, only I know of only one other place in Chazal it appears in Psachim, in the second parak. Laharin means to be nismashkein, to be taken, in this case as a prisoner, sometimes it's a pledge. Shehur hanoa ba'ashkelon v'richakua b'nei mishpachta. And her family now treated her as psula. The Eidim testified that she was never had yichud and therefore was never defiled by her captors. Amru lahem chachamim, and maybe captors, it could be given as a pledge for debt. Amru lahem chachamim, imaminim atem shahurana haminu shalonistra vishalonitma. Vim einatem aminim shalonistra vishalonitma altaminu shahurana. So you have it one way or the other. Either you believe the witnesses who say that she was taken captive and that she wasn't defiled, or you don't believe the witnesses who say that she was taken captive and therefore you don't really care about whether she was defiled or not being taken as a mashkon. So the b'nei mishpachta wanted to be very machmir. But the question is, there may not be any basis for that. They may not represent the valid sheet. So I'm not aware, I could be wrong, I'm not aware of anyone who says that the Psul Shvi is the Oraisa. Right? And the din the Rabbanon is that there are only two people. The din, and you see in the Mishnayis in the second parak, that an Eid Echad is Neman by a Shvuya, even an Eved, even a Shivcha. The only people who are not Nemanos on a woman who was a Shvuya to say that she was not Nivala are herself and? No, a woman is Bali.
I said several women who are thought to.
If they said that lo nivala, why would we believe them? It's in their interest to say that she's psula to us. If they say mutter, it's not like it's gonna. Nope. The Gemara even says that bisman shem eidim zo the nemanos.
This one says.
We're not choshish for gomlin.
Remember, she said. I'm Torah and she's Torah.
That she's believed about Chaverta, but not about herself. And the Gemara says, Amar B'tzchari ben Akatzav, that's the Mishnah Chav Zayin Amal Alfna, Chav Zayin Rebeis. It's really just a continuation. Amar B'tzchari ben Akatzav, Amon Azel Lo Zaza Yada Mitoch Yadi Misha Shenichtis Ovde Kochal Mishalayim Vetshiyatsu, Amru Lo Ein Adam Meir Al Atzma. So even her husband is not Nemenes, which is interesting. It's interesting in light of our Sugya. Her husband is not Nemenes, but her future husband is Nemenes. The Gemara's explanation will obviously explain why the distinction between the two. But the fact that an Eid Echad is Neman on this in itself suggests very strongly that the Psul is only the Rabbanon, because if the Psul were the Raisa, I would presume that you would need Eidim Kshayim in order to be Matir her. Right? So that point, I think, is not really disputed. Okay. Does that answer your... Okay. Anyway, so by the way, from that case of Chalitza and Yibam by Akatan and Akitana, the Bavli extrapolates from Rabbi Meir that he's always Chayshin on Lemiuta. He's Chayish Lemiuta. Okay. We are not Chayshin on Lemiuta, although sometimes we're Choshesh for Nemir HaMatzoy. That's why when we do, when you shech the behema, there are like 18 trefas potentially in the animal, but we only check for one of them. We only check for one of them, which are Sirchas in the lungs. Why? Because that's the only one that's common. That's the only one that's common. Okay.
So Rabbi Yehuda here seems kind of like a big chiddush, he's been calling her a tanakhama that she's kind of a bishasa. That doesn't seem like the way you said it. It sounds like everyone really holds that she's coming to Hashem.
No.
Just kind of assume if they're abundant, she's not.
So the question, Rabbi, there are a couple of comments here. What you're pointed to is something that Eli pointed out very well to me, which I hadn't really thought about, is that the formulation of Rabbi Yehuda's language suggests what? Right. She really holds this as a general principle. That, as you might have seen, since I gave you the Yerushalmi a little late today, there are three deos in the Yerushalmi as to how far Rabbi Yehuda's Shita goes. And in that sense, the language of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, the Pashtus, is like Reish Lakish. Against, you know, in other words, in accordance with the claim that Rabbi Yochanan makes in our Gemara. So the funny thing is that it's Rabbi Yochanan in our Gemara is against Rabbi Yochanan as quoted in the Yerushalmi. It doesn't really matter as a general rule which is more likely to be correct. Yerushalmi. Right, unless you argue that Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. But what is Reish Lakish Shita in the Yerushalmi, and again, what the Yerushalmi does, it's not just that the Yerushalmi speaks about the scope of Rabbi Yehuda Shita, it actually, in the last opinion, explicitly links it to Rabbi Dosa. It explicitly links it to Rabbi Dosa. So the formulation Rabbi Yehuda, Rebek Dushasa, certainly suggests that. Suggests that he holds that it's an across-the-board principle. That there is a problem, as a number of the Rishonim note. I think I saw the Rashba and the Ritva both make a comment about this. What is odd about saying that Rabbi Yehuda's position is across the board? Well, Rabbi Yehuda would say that there never was a Gzera, right? In other words, at the end of the day, when Reish Lakish says that Rabbi Yehuda is across the board, he's saying that they never made any Gzera. So, but there's a sort of a more pressing question. There are any number of Mishnayos earlier in this Masechta where Rabbi Yehuda should have commented. In fact, I'm trying to remember, firstly, in the first parak, where the Mishnah talks about what is our ksuba. So the Mishnah should have quoted Rabbi Yehuda's descent, in other words, Hagiyores Vashivcha Hagiyores Vashivcha Hashvuyah Vashivcha Sheniftu Sheneskayr Sheshtachu. Rabbi Yehuda should have said, he should have said that, but he doesn't say anything. And he should have argued in the second parak as well. And in fact, there's one case, I'm trying to remember where it is, where Rabbi Yehuda comes along and actually argues, but doesn't bother to argue on this particular point, I think. Is there? But either way, why did Rabbi Yehuda not say anything earlier in the Masechta?
Does Rabbi Yehuda, you think he holds this by Jairus and Shifa also?
No.
No, just by Shuya.
Just by Shuya.
So you should come say that Shuya should have ties with someone Messiah.
Yeah. That's why, you know, when you think from an exegetical perspective, the Rishonim asked that as a kasha on the position of Reish Lakish, the abstract position. Why is Rabbi Yehuda not cholek earlier? If Rabbi Yehuda ridos amr davar echad. The counter response to that is that's exactly why the Amoraim question whether Rabbi Yehuda's position really is as extreme as it sounds in this formulation here. It's exactly that point that I think drives this interpretation. Okay. Now, I want to make, before we go on, before we start to read the Yerushalmi and then read the Bavli, I wanted to just remind you about one thing in the Mishnah, which is going to involve a very extensive discussion in the Ramban, which we did, we didn't do the Ramban, we did Tosfos at the beginning of the year, but I want to come back to it because the Ramban has a very, very long discussion of it here. Going back to the previous Mishnah, Habal Bito, going back to this Mishnah, Habal Bito, so it's part of the Mishnah Mishai Ben Avsho. So there's an obvious kasha which the Yerushalmi asks, which we discussed, which is what? Tosfos quoted it at the beginning of the parak. What's the problem with saying that Habal Bito is Pater? Exactly. That's pretty good. Did you learn the beginning of the parak?
Yeah.
Okay. So you learned that not here, but you learned that Tosis. So the Yerushalmi says, but one second. Even if it weren't for Kum Labor the Rabba Minei, if a man rapes his daughter, to whom does the Kenas go? Takes it out of his right pocket and he puts it in his left pocket. So why does the Mishnah tell you that he's Pater because of Kum Labor the Rabba Minei? He's Pater anyway. Even if you held like Rabbi Meir. Even if you have like Rabbi Meir, that Adam is Mesa Mishalim, and assuming that applies to Knas, not like even, well, he certainly holds it by Knas, right? If he holds Mesa Mishalim, then he holds it at least by Knas, according to Rabbah. Some would say always. So if that's the case, why do you say, what Rabbi Meir, even according to Rabbi Meir, who that wouldn't say Kalman and Rabbi Meir in theory, even according to Rabbi Meir, there would be no, should be no Knas by Bito. So the Yerushalmi is going to answer the question, but it's not a simple answer.
Rabbi Meir holds that there's no Mesa Mishalim, I thought everyone says Rabbi Meir holds Mesa Mishalim.
No, everybody who says Rameir holds Loka Mishalim. The Gemara has a Havim, and Rameir only said Loka Mishalim, not Mesa Mishalim. But then they had a problem. They had that Brisa of Gana V'Tavach B'Shabbos, and then maybe Rameir does hold Mesa Mishalim. And I think even the Maskanas HaGemara, it was everybody holds that way in the Maskanas HaGemara, or did they come up with another Teretz? I don't remember. I need to do Chazara.
Well, I thought you had to say that.
I don't think. I actually don't think it's gonna. I don't think they're gonna.
It's the next.
Right. So.
The,
so
the,
correct.
The also, we have to say
correct. And correct.
Right.
So we'll get a chance. It'll be excuse to do chazar. But in the meantime, so just remember that question. The Ramban is going to have a lot to say about it. A very long Ramban. But when we get to Laman Zayin and Aleph, that part of the Mishnah. In fact, the way the Rishonim and appears have broken up, they broke up the Mishnah. Certainly, I think in the Rashba it's clear. In the Rashba it's clear that again, it doesn't mean anything, but this Mishnah was split in half, and you can sort of see a remiss to that, by the way, because if you look on Laman Zayin and Aleph, look at the Pisgah. Ooh, one second. Hold on. Am I imagining things? Am I forgetting things? It must have been on the online version. Oh, I bet you there's a correction. Is there a correction here? What I think I saw in the online version is on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, it's not Shenem Arav Lo Yason Anosh Yanesh, it's actually Haba Al Bito V'chulei.
Well, why didn't, like, if one has Bach Gemma Haba Al Bito?
No, I know that. So, in other words, but no, here's what's important. I don't want to know Leiden, that's Yushalmi.
Yeah.
I want to know Bavli. I think that if you look in, look at the Bari, you have the Bari Lan edition there? What is the Pisgah on Lamed Zayin Amal Al-Fried? I might be wrong, but I thought I saw it said. I was struck when I saw, struck by it when I saw it. Lamed Zayin Amal Al-Fried, towards the bottom. You know what? There may not be a space there. That there wasn't. I remember putting the space in the file that I was copying out. Find the words Habalbita. Find the words Kedei Rishaso. There's a Pisgah there, one way or the other. You're right before that. You see where it says Lo Nefcha Yafa Yafa? Yafa Yafa? A couple lines before? What comes after that? Okay, so I saw somewhere, I don't know where I saw, Haba Al Bito.
Yeah, that's not.
What?
It's not, there's no Haba Al Bito.
Not there. I don't know where I saw it. Unless it was in one of the Rishonim. By the way, look, you see another riot to the fact. Look at Tosfos. Haba Al Bito Valbas Ishto on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. I didn't look at the Masoros HaShas, but I know what the notes Ches and Yud say. Right? You know what the notes Ches and Yud say without looking at the Masoros HaShas? Two words. Without looking at the Masoros HaShas, what do the words say there? Shayach le'el. Now let's see. Ches, shayach le'el, b'mishnah lamed vav amed beis. Right, but notice that in the sequence of Tosos, when they put the Tosos in together, they had the previous sugya before the Mishnah, this part of the Mishnah. Okay? It's not a big deal. Remember, the Mishnayos, the Rishonim, the Gemara manuscripts, for the most part, do not have the Mishnayos in them. Except for when they do, they have them all at the beginning of the parak. In the middle, they have the Pisgah. Okay.
Yeah, some manuscripts have this.
Have what?
Have a Baal Bito.
Okay, so the question is, how did I see it? I wasn't looking at Kisveyad, but Habal Bito demonstrates that that's where the Mishnah probably was. Supposed to be put back in. Anyway, it doesn't change the meaning. Okay, so our plan, we're going to now deal with the Yerushalmi and the opening sugya in the Bavli. Before we get to that Ramban, there's one other major sugya we will probably look at, which is the sugya of Moch. The sugya of Moch is a very important sugya, having nothing to do with the Ksubas, but it's a very much halacha lemaisa issue, which is relevant to Bisman Hazeh, having to do with birth control. The Gemara here speaks about a Mishamesh Es B'moch, and the question of what that is, and whether it's permissible or not, or under what circumstances, and so on. So we will have a chance, God willing, to talk about that, since it's here. There are some of the Rishonim. There's supposed to be a Tosas Rosh here, but I couldn't find it. I thought it's here in Ksubas. Anyway, unless the Gimel Lashem appears Beferish later in the Perek. In which case, if it does, I'm going to wait to do it till we get there. But does anyone know? Anyway, let's start in the Yerushalmi. Who would like to read the Yerushalmi for? Idea.
So we did the Bavli, not the Yerushalmi.
Yeah, you can do the do the Yerushalmi. It won't be so hard.
Yep.
It's later in the parak. Lamed Tes Samed Aleph. Okay. Go ahead. Which is interesting, by the way. Why is it? What does it mean? Afal pi shehi gdola? Correct. It means gedola mishalo shana v'yomechad. Now, what?
Already said that.
No, 1 second. I want to make a different observation here. I did say this yesterday. We spoke about gedola makes her more or less likely. In other words, the Mishnah implies the older she is, the more likely she was to have had bia. But the interesting question is that, as you'll see in the Gemara, is that really so? Meaning, it's true. Well, presumably a shvuya of any kind doesn't want to have bia. Who is more likely to be successful in preventing it from happening? An older or a younger child? An older. And the Gemara is going to talk about minter anafsha. It's more likely an older child with minter anafsha. You'll see Tosus has a, not commenting on this, but it's an interesting observation in Dibur Maschil Shvui on Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. All right, but eventually we'll get there. Continue, Adir.
Amar B'Yochanan, lo ribauta for Yehuda ela l'knas.
What does that mean? Anybody? Zach?
That he said that he kushasa, meaning she gets a class, but we still consider her a ula for it.
In other words, this din that a shvui is b'kdushasa is only for knas purposes. The Yerushalmi does not spell out why, but you could presumably assume what? Shalei chotei niskar. Okay. Next. Which is interesting. Tani Rabbi Chia af l'ksubas mana masayim. Now, what is Rabbi Chia doing here? Adin?
Doing the same thing as I think as Rava did in the Bavli, saying that it's not rejecting the idea that it's not just for chotei niskar, but that he really thinks that she's considered a pnuya, a holdover.
He doesn't say that. He doesn't even. It's not venturing an opinion. What is he doing? He's quoting a brisa. Right. He's not. Rabbi Yochanan here quoted in the Yerushalmi at the beginning is offering an opinion. Rabbi Chiya is just quoting a brisa. You don't know if that brisa means that for all dinim or for ksuba as well. The way the Yerushalmi presents it, is that it's dafka l'ksuba smana masayim. In fact, when you look at the Bavli's version, afilu bas eser shanim subasa masayim, even if she's 10 years old, more likely, presumably, to have been of interest or desire for her captors, nonetheless, she gets a ksuba of masayim. That sounds like full-fledged psula. But Tani Reb Chiya af l'ksuba smano masayim. It's not clear whether the af is part of the brisa or not.
What would it be?
Well, maybe in abridged form, and we're citing in a way that indicates the way the purpose of quoting it, which is not only for knas, but even for ksubas manam asayim, but not necessarily for other dinim.
Right. Well, it doesn't make sense that now it's just for dinim omenos.
What's that?
Now it's just she's a psula for
dinim omenos.
Does that make sense?
Maybe. I mean, it could be, and I don't know what other dinim omenos there are, but it could be. And finally, even for Achilas Truma. Now, the Yerushalmi doesn't say explicitly, but what is the nature of Achilas Truma? The Arai said the Rabbanon. Why is it the Rabbanon?
Otherwise, the layman wouldn't make sense.
What?
The introduction of truma wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense to just restrict something to if it were dead rising here. So that's indicator number one.
If from Ishlakish says Rabbi Yehuda holds Rabbi Kushasa la'af la'truma, why does that mean it's not the rising?
No. Sorry. Is
machlokas with the achron
here? Is machlokas mefarshe
Yerushalmi? Not so explicitly. Chaimash doesn't.
Probably
it
says
explicitly
because Truma is Darabanan,
that's the only reason why.
Amosha
doesn't really say explicitly.
Right, so the pashtus is any Truma, the way the Yerushalmi presents it. In other words, Reish Lakish says that read the continuation, dear. That's Rabbi Yehuda. So basically, they hold the same way. They have the same shita. Tamon. Tanina Tamon. Earlier, it's Meseches Adrios. Okay, last statement is that Reish Lakish is apparently passed like Rabbi Dosa. So, the simple reading of the Yerushalmi is that there's no restriction here of Truma at the Truma the Rabbanon. They may not have had Truma the Raisa. Why not? Either because Kpat Lakadusha Sa'aretz, or because there was no Shemitah, and there was no Yovel, therefore there was no Shemitah. If there's no Shemitah, there's no Truma Samaisur, 6-year cycle, and therefore Truma Samaisur is only the Rabbanon. That you could understand it's only Rabbanan, but the Yerushalmi doesn't suggest that Rabbi Dosa or Rabbi Yehuda Shita was that the Shvei Ochel is Betruma, but only Truma mid the Rabbanan. So in the Yerushalmi, two things, I think. Well, one thing that certainly emerges is that Pashtus is that Rabbi Dosa Shita is in any Truma, as according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda is as well. The other interesting tidbit about this Yerushalmi is the following. Do we Paskin like Rabbi Dosa or Rabbi Yehuda? Any of you know?
No,
we don't. We don't. Why don't we paskin like them? In this Mishnah?
No.
We don't paskin.
Do you paskin this din?
Like Rabbi Yehuda of Shvuya and like Rabbi Dosa of Shvuya? The answer is no. Why not? Well, for starters, they're a minority opinion, but is there any other indication that we shouldn't paskin like them? And some of you, I don't know if this came up last year. Any of you know what a shita is? You're looking at me like I come from another planet. You're looking at me because, as Zach said, articulates very well. What do you mean? Do we know what a shita is? Do you mean the shita mekubetzes? Do you mean the shita rishonim? So now, Ashita is a technical term. When the Gemara, it's very, there are certain Amoraim who like to do it in the Bavli, Abaye in particular. When he says that Ploni, Uploni, 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 Amru Davar Echad. That's when he links seemingly or possibly disparate opinions and saying they both hold the same core principle. There is a tradition amongst the Gaonim that we do not paskin like the Shita, by definition. In other words, it's almost as they're being cited as here are the oddball views that share a common denominator, and we don't paskin this way. If you want to see a lengthy discussion of this, a somewhat lengthy discussion of this issue, if you look in the Gemara in Sukkah, where it says that Rebbe and Beis Shammai and all these people, different Shittos held that Sukkah diras keva be'ina, it's around Daf Vav or something like that. And clearly none of these Shittos agree with one another, because many of them disagree explicitly. Right? Beis Shammai says that a Sukkah has to be Rosh Hashanah Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. Rebbe says a Sukkah must be Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos. But they all have this idea that on some level Sukkah diras keva be'ina. So if you look, there's a discussion in the Balamor and the Mechamos there, about, and I think the Griff says something as well, about Paskini here, because we don't normally Paskin like a Shita. So what's interesting to me is that Reish Lakish here in the Yerushalmi certainly Paskins like, I mean, he doesn't say the Shita, somebody else does, right? The Yerushalmi says Stam, that according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa hold the same way. And then Reish Lakish just, they quote Reish Lakish as passing like Rabbi Dosa, which means he passes like Rabbi Yehuda as well. But in the Bavli, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying, Rabbi Yochanan is the other common Amora. In fact, I think that usually, if I'm not mistaken, I could be making this up, but I think usually Rabbi Yochanan says, quotes Ploni, Ploni, and Ploni, Amru Davar Echad, and Abaye says, Ploni, 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 Kulu Svira Lehu, and gives the claw. You can check. So, but once the Bavli says, Rabbi Yochanan says, these two Tanaim, Amru Davar Echad, if they in fact did say Davar Echad, then the Pashtun says we don't paskin that way. It happens to be we don't paskin this way, despite Reish Lakish's comment in the Reish Lakish's citation in the Yerushalmi. Okay, fine. So in the Yerushalmi, it appears that there are perhaps three different opinions as to the scope of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Possibility one is that it's limited to the din of Knas, presumably because Shelo Yechot Eneskar. Possibility two is that it includes all the Dinei Mamanos, I'll use that, which is even the Ksuba, but not Isser V'Heter. And possibility three is it includes even Isser V'Heter. Mati?
Is it possible that Rabbi Yehuda is not actually arguing with Rabbi Yochanan, it's just that Rabbi Yochanan may not have had that Brisa that adds the Ksuba?
Well, that's a larger issue, but Rabbi Yochanan might not have had the Braisa, but he does say Lo Ribos Rabbi Yehuda Elo Knas. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan believed that not for Ksuba. Now, maybe what would he have said? Now, that's always a question: did Rabbi Yochanan know the Braisa or not? And Ishmiale, he does when he says Lo Shmiale. Someone says Lo Shmiale, they mean Kolomar Lo Svirali, or no, really Lo Shmiale. He hadn't heard. So I don't know. I don't know whether he heard the Braisa rejected. I don't know if he didn't hear the Braisa. Okay, so now you can come back to the Bavli. That was really the all in the Yerushalmi. Hang on to your sheets, by the way, because we will need them when we get to Bito. All right. Thank you. You're exempt. Your Chavrus is not here. Jacob, can I ask you to read? Okay, starting with the Gemara. The Masor Shas points out that it's actually a Mishnah, but he suggests that the reason why it says the Tanya is because the continuation is not a Mishnah. But the continuation, as best as I can tell, doesn't appear anywhere else in rabbinic literature except for in a Gemara, a parallel Gemara, or some parallel Gemara, in Gittin. But otherwise, this little expansion does not appear anywhere else.
What?
Oh yeah, no.
So it probably is quoting.
It could be, right? So it could be that it's a brisa that's quoting the Mishnah and then commenting. Yeah, it's possible. That's possible too. I just was quoting the Masor Shas. But yes, I think it's reasonable. Note, by the way, that the distinction between the Tanya and the Tanan is, I don't want to say it's artificial, but there are a whole lot of examples in the Gemara where it uses the wrong one. The Tanya is supposed to be a brisa and Tanan a Mishnah. And most of the time, in the Masor Shas, they start editing it. But when you go back to the manuscript evidence, it's clear that it's not being used quite as consistently as we like to believe it should be used. Okay. So anyway, so Vatanya, I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay, continue the next part. Chima, Amar Bidosa.
Huh?
Okay, so what did this Aravi halas? Why an Arab? Tosa says because they were shtufei zima. They were shtufei zima. I don't know really very much about. I don't know a whole lot about Arabic culture. This is not necessarily contemporary Arabic culture, but it is a reflection of contemporary Arabic culture, which is pre-Islamic. Although one might expect that some of the natures of that culture would have continued and might be reflected in theory in contemporary Islamic culture. I have no idea. No, it's hard to say. Talk about treatment of women.
This is pre-Islamic.
This is pre-Islamic. Yeah. Yeah, it's a Tanaitic. It's 400 years before Muhammad. So it's hard to know to what extent what of this is still reflected in Arabic culture. It's also hard, you know. But the Gemara condition says that 10 kabin of znus zima yardu olam, and nine were taken by Arvium, and the one was for the rest of the world. That's a famous Gemara. There are lots of other interesting nine things. Tisha kabin dibur yardu olam. And Tisha Karbin Saras Yardala Olam 9. Chazerim took 9. What?
That's Saras.
That the pigs took? Saras. Yes.
Sam and I looked it up.
That's okay. I'm glad to hear you did, but what did the pigs take? Asara kabin negoyim yardul olam tishanat luchazirim. I'm sorry, it wasn't taras. Negoyim. Right. Fine. Negoyim is nega taras. There you go. Tisha kabin kshafim yard, asara kabin kshafim yard olam. The triumph took 9. Yes. Okay. Fine. There were 10 kabin of drunkenness that came down to the world. Lots of interesting things. It's obviously a sociological observation. I can't tell you how much it's stereotypical. It's certainly stereotypical, but I can't tell you how accurate it might be. But anyway, and that is the nature of stereotypes. Okay, they rarely stick unless there's a kernel of truth. They may not be fully true, but unless there's a kernel of truth. Okay, so anyway, so what did this Arab do to her? Shemiech lo ben dadeha. Right, he molested her. He literally, I don't know, miyachla, he pressed between her breasts. That's what he did. I don't know exactly what this is, but he didn't actually have intercourse with her. That's the assumption Rabbi Dosa makes. Okay. So because miyachla be dadeb Solomon akahuna, no, therefore she is ksheira lakahuna. No, maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe that she is a besula. It's just here, and in other words, normally, for all purposes, we would be goes there to treat her as a ba'ula. But here, we're not going to do so, because doing so would let this sinner get off the hook. And especially if you assume in our Torah, she's assumed to still be a besula, we're certainly not going to do it there. Zach?
So, why do you think that Tosos holds that the Tanakhama disagrees with this concept here? Meaning, Tosos then, because Shelo Tinas Negoyim Asaro Kibu'ulu Chodireha, when we see all over the place, Shelo Yechodin Nisha should be a principle that even Tanakhama adopts.
So the Tosos does ask the question. Where is Tosos asked this question? It may not be in our Tosis. I think the other Rishonim might quote from Tosis. How do you reconcile? Oh, you know, it might be in Tosis earlier, actually. On Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. How do you reconcile? Yeah, it's a Tosis on the bottom Tosis on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. How do you reconcile Rabbi's position there that you don't say Chodiniska with Chodiniska here? But the point is, sometimes you say Shalayte Chodiniska, sometimes you don't say Shalay Chodiniska. Okay, so Rabbah says, could be Rabbi Yehuda's principle is a limited one. He doesn't really believe that a Shvuya has full Kedusha. Just for the purposes of Knas, we make the rapist pay Knas. Okay, and then, maybe he would hold like the Rabbanon, that she's Asura LeKahuna. Inami, Right. And this is, by the way, a little bit complicated to offer this opinion for Rabbi Dosa. Note, by the way, that the Yushalmi never even considered the possibility that Rabbi Dosa would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Right? In the Yushalmi, the only question is, would Rabbi Yehuda's position agree with Rabbi Dosa? Right? But not the other. The Yushalmi never formulates the question in that fashion. It takes as a given, once you adopt Reish Lakish's position, that that she is that a Shvuyah is Bekdushasa, even for Truma, that it must be that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa Amru Davar Echad. Right? But not so in the Bavli. Why is it difficult to argue what the Bavli suggests here? That it's only by Truma the Rabbanon? Why the Bavli suggests that maybe Rabbi Dosa would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe Rabbi Dosa only said it by Truma the Rabbanon, but by Knas the Raisa he wouldn't say that. So what's the assumption in the Gemara, of course, is if we knew that Rabbi Dosa said it by Truma the Raisa, then what? Then certainly he's going to hold it by. There's always assuming we're going to hold by Knas the Raisa. What's the problem with attributing this as being Rabbi Dosa's position that it's only Truma the Rabbanon? What's that?
Why are they
assuming that? He says a shvi ochel is betruma, and truma bezmana zen. This mana mishnah was only drabbanon. It's not crazy. How do you know? Why is it so difficult to say that's his position? Look at it. Yeah, Yaakov.
And every other mishnah source, when they talk about truma, are they necessarily saying truma?
If it says truma, you have to know whether. Sometimes it's assumed to be only truma drabbanon. I don't know. But there's a more obvious problem with saying this to Rabbi Dosa. Look at what Rabbi Dosa says in the Braisa. Ma'esha Rabbi Halaz Mi'echla Ben Nadeha. What? Salam and Akahuna. It's not Truma. It's Mary a Kohen. That's a Daraisa Shaila. No question about that. Kohanim is Man Hazeh. And there are two kinds of Kohanim. There are Kohanim Yuchasim and Kohanim Chazaka. So today, pretty much all Kohanim are Kohanim Chazaka. You know what Kohanim Chazaka was? My father was a Kohen. My grandfather was a Kohen. I want to be a Kohen too. That's Kohanim Chazaka. Yuchasim means you can have Eidos to trace your lineage up until the Mizbeach. Up until meaning someone who worked on the Mizbeach. Or the equivalent to someone who was a Miuchas. Some want to claim, you know, today in Eretz Yisrael, I heard Rishachtu say this a number of times, that today in Eretz Yisrael, when they shech behemos, I don't know how much they shech in Eretz Yisrael, but when they shech behemos, so they don't give the Zerah L'Chayaya and the Keva to the Kohen. Right? They don't give, I don't think they give Rishis HaGeis to the Kohen either, as far as I know. Right? The question is, why not? See, B'chutz La'aretz, we don't give Matanos to the Kohen or Rishis HaGeis, because we follow a Das Yachid that's mentioned in the Mishnah, that the Minag Olam ready in the time of Chazal, Nahug Alma Kahani Tlasabi, the Gemara Brachas, I think, Dachav Beis. So one of the Minhagim was that they don't have Rishis HaGeis and Chutz La'aretz like Rab Eloi, and the Rishonim say we don't even have Mizrael Chayim and Keva, right? Mizrael Chayim and Keva, those Matanos from a regular Behemah school that go to a Kohen, it's Parsha Shoftim. And Rishis HaGez, also Parsha Shoftim, those are not, that's not mitzvah of Tullius Beguf, the Bekarka, right? They're not agricultural mitzvah. I mean, they're Adam, what's the term for animal husbandry? Is there a word? But it's not agriculture. It's not Tullius Bekarka. So why don't we give it to Kohanim? So Chutz Lawrence, we're some Echapan, Rav Eloi, I think, or not Rav Eloi, I forget which town it was that we were samech upon in Chutz La'aretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, why don't they give Zerah L'Chayim and Keva to the Kohanim? And Reishis HaGeis, the Kohanim won't need to buy clothing anymore. Maybe they won't even need to buy meat anymore. So why not? And in fact, tongue is probably really expensive. The Kohanim won't have to work for a living anymore. So sell the tongues. There's no Kedusha, by the way, to these Matanos. And there's no Isser Daraisa or Darabanon of eating a behema, even though Lohur Mumat Noseh. There's a Midas Chasidus, the Gemara mentions in Megillah, at the end of the, I think, Dachav Ches, Dachav Tes, that some of the Amoraim said, you know, that tasteily, that I never ate from a behema, Shalohur Mumat Noseh. Right? But Meikar Din, Zerua L'Chayayim and Keva are not Tovel. They don't make the behema Tevel until you separate them. What's that? If the Kohen gives it to you.
No, not if you don't.
No, but it's Gezel. It's like eating Maaser Rishon if you're not a, if you're not a Levi. It's theft.
So then the Eishes are there because they throw them out?
What's that? No, they don't throw them out. They sell the tongue in the supermarket. Question, why don't they give it to the Kohanim? So some have suggested that it's because our Kohanim are only Kohanim Chazaka and they're not Kohanim Yuchasim. And therefore, it's only a Sofek and it's like a Motzi Mechar al Haraya. It's very, very Chalash. Very Chalash.
Really, why that?
Why is the very chalash? Because midin Torah, we assume Kohanim Chazak are Kohanim. So chumra mid rabbanu mala asu biyichsun. What? No, it's not we don't give them truma. Who says we don't give them truma? No, that's because we're all tmeim. That's because we're all tmeim, so they can't eat the truma. It's useless to them. But Tzorel Chaim and Keva, because they have no kedusha, are perfectly useful. They're perfectly useful. We do pidyon haben with Kohanim. What's that?
We're talking about the only economy Yechassim can do anything but Duchen. Because Duchen is not saying everything else is
up. No, I don't think we say. We do pidyon haben with the Kohen Echazaka. Right? And so we have other mitzvahs. So, I mean, it's hard to say Kohen Echazaka versus Kohanim Yechassim is a chumra midrabana. It's ma'al also biyuchsim. Okay. So anyway, so looking at Rabbi Dosa's statement that Psalm and Akahuna, that implies that it's not just Truma, it's Mary a Kohen. Our Kohanim, we assume, until we know otherwise, a real Kohanim. If we had a based in the Gay Malkus and someone who was Becheskas Kohen, married a Grusha, or entered the cemetery, we would beat them. Yes. Correct. That was what I mentioned earlier. Eli said, I may have said the beginning of Shir. Eli pointed out to me, and I didn't think about that, Rabbi Huda's statement, Arei B'Kdushasa, really sounds like it's a full-fledged in. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's just a shaleichot in Iskra. It sounds harayot b'tushasa, period. Yeah. But here in the Gemara suggests that you could argue that two shitas are not identical. Again, it's true, but both the formulations suggest that they go the full 10 yards, I guess. Okay. So anyway, so now the Gemara focuses on the issue of Rabbi Huda. They let Rabbi Dosa go. The issue of Rabbi Dosa, but they want to focus on Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi suggested that maybe Rabbi Yehuda understands that the Shvuya being not Becheskas Pa'ula is only a din that we apply in Malkum Kanas, but nowhere else. Nowhere else. And now the Gemara says, is that really what Rabbi Yehuda holds? Vatanya. So even if she was old enough, she was almost at puberty where she's more likely to be a target for the desires of her captors, nonetheless, she gets a ksuba of masayim, and there you can't say, shelo yehecho de niskar. Right? Requiring the husband to pay a ksuba as a chumrah is not, it's not like if we made him only give a mana, he sinned and he's being rewarded. He didn't do anything wrong. He's marrying her, and if really, if the presumption is that she is not a basula, we shouldn't make him pay masayim. We should only pay mana. So now the Gemara answers. So what's the concern here? Why would Rabbi Yehuda, if he holds Mikar Din Ashviyas, in the Rabbanan Ashviyas Psula, he doesn't hold the Ashviyas completely Kshera, why would he also add the Din of Ksubas Masayim? The Gemara says, because otherwise we're afraid, people are going to refrain from marrying her. Mimini Velonas, Mimane Velonas Nasvela, right? Okay, in other words, we are concerned about her well being. Her possibilities of marriage, and so they didn't want to be machmir here by a din derabanan. They didn't want to be machmir to treat her as a ba'ula by this din derabanan. So where did they treat her as? Where would Rabbi Huda treat her potentially as being a ba'ula? By truma. Okay. Now the Gemara asks. Okay, so this, as the Gemara will say, is a very odd brisa. If someone ransoms a female captive, yisa ena, can be one of two things. Either he shall, or he may. Okay, obviously it doesn't mean he shall. There's no din that just because you ransom a captive that you're supposed to marry her. Then. That particularly being the case because it would make it harder to ransom women. chazakas, they would.
What if it was a communal fund?
What's that?
If it was a communal fund that ran some dirt.
Well. Okay, but then you're not a podes ashvoya. It's interesting, by the way, in light of current events. Chazal had a rule, ein podes ashvoya b'yeser achdei demehen. In the contemporary discussions of ransoming people. So the rule in the Mishnah was you're not allowed to pay more than their regular value. Because if you do that, it's going to encourage captors really to go out of the way and capture your particular group. Captives were a regular thing, but to single you out, if you pay higher ransoms, then they're likely to single you out more. But you can pay chidei demehen. That's according to the Mishnah. But you're not allowed to do that. I remember Shechtu commenting that you're not allowed to ransom someone if by ransoming them you're putting money in the hands of bad people who are going to do more bad things, do worse things. So I think he told the story, apparently, in one of the Palestinian kidnappings, hijackings of a plane in the 70s, I think. I believe Rav Huttner was on the plane. Rav Huttner, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. And his Talmidim, he had some Talmidim who wanted to pay a ransom. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky apparently said, you're not allowed to do that. Because you would be, if I understood, if I remember Shechter saying, whether he said this, or Yaakov said it, he said this, or Shechter himself said this, is that if you're giving money to terrorists, so what they're going to do with the money is commit more acts of terror. So if you're dealing with someone who's just, you know, people captured someone, derech agav, or even if they're capturers, but you pay only fair value, so that was okay. But if you pay more than that, then you're going to be causing them you're going to encourage them to actually redeem ransom, take more captives. But either way, if you're going to be helping the enemy, so then you're not allowed to do that. So in the contemporary situation, as difficult as it is, so it's generally speaking wrong to be ransoming captives. In fact, that's how some of these terrorist organizations have functioned. They function because apparently the European countries particularly are really bad about this, have been paying ransoms, you know, not very publicly, to redeem their kidnapped citizens. And it's a tragedy, unfortunately, but they made it a problem worse because now you're funding terrorists. So halacha frowns strongly upon that. But here we're dealing with someone who's poda bichdei demehen. That circumstance is mother. So the Mishnah says if he's poda a shvuya, he's allowed to marry her. Now, why would I think he's not allowed to marry her? I mean, it doesn't make a happy ending to a fairy tale. He saved her life, and now he marries her, and they lived happily ever after. So what's the chiddush in Yisa'ena? There's an important point missing from the Braisa that Rashi fills in. He's a Kohen. You can say it louder, Jacob. He's a Kohen. So chiddush is, can a Kohen marry a shvuya? So the Braisa says, Epodes ha-shvuya yisa'ena. Made by, if you testify, what? What does testify mean? Testify that she wasn't niveles, she wasn't raped. Then lo yisa'ena. So if you ransom a captive, you're allowed to marry her. But if you are testifying that she was not niveles, you're not allowed to marry her. Now, if you testify that she was not niveles, is she allowed to marry another Kohen? And the answer is?
Yes.
You only need 8 echad. You only need 8 echad to establish as a fact that she wasn't raped. Yes.
I'm just curious, how does this testimony work? Because, I mean, you have to have been there the entire time.
Yep, like with Zachariah ben Akatzav. Except for his problem was with his wife. But Hamon has I swear by the temple, lo zaza yada mitoch yadi, you know, kol zman shenichlis Yerushalayim, and they said, ein adam eid ayde atzma. But if it were someone else, yes. Moshe?
So you said she can't be made by herself.
About herself, and her husband can't be made about her, but any other eight echad can.
But this is a different person. This
correct.
Is a future husband.
Correct.
The third person?
So he's made. Correct.
Oh, okay.
She's not married. The problem is, for Ishus Cohen, for Cohen, it doesn't matter whether the woman who was taken captive was married or not. If she's Nivellus Legoy, if she's Nivellus Legoy, then she's Asura to a Cohen, period, even if she was a Penuya. Right? Now, as a woman who is niveles to a guy or an eved is a zona, halachically, even if she hasn't done anything wrong.
Okay, but is this a third group of people who cannot be made, the future husband?
It doesn't say he can't be made. It says he can't marry her.
Oh, sorry, yes, God.
Made by hayin ba lo yisana. If he ransomed her, he can marry her. Now, presumably, if he can marry her, who's testifying? Who's testifying?
Herself.
What?
Herself.
Nope. Because she won't be believed. So who cares whether he's ransoming her? What?
He is.
So, in other words, made, but you just said made Balo Yusana. It's the next line. So how do you, the Gemara is going to put this together. I'm just sketching out where the Gemara is going to go. If you read the Gemara, you may have read the Gemara and understood it, but not processed what's going on as you read the Braisa, because you don't go back and reread the Braisa. So made ba lo yisena. Rabbi Yehuda says, benkach ubenkach, whether you're the one who's made ba, whether you're the one who's ransomed her, you're not allowed to marry her. Rabbi Yehuda didn't like fairy tale endings. Okay, he rescued the damsel in distress. Okay, of course, in the fairy tales, it's not just by shelling out cash. He would, of course, break into the prison, swoop in on a rope, and pick her up, just out of the clutches of her kidnappers, right? That's what would happen in the fairy tale. So here, you know, this is the modern version. He just pays cash. Okay, thank you. Right, so he lays out money for her. So the Gemara says, one second, Hagufa Kasha. See, Ezra, this is the point. In other words, I didn't read the carefully Bryce until I read the Gemara, and I've gone back and read the Bryce, but now the Gemara spells out Hagufa Kasha. Before we even get to the point about Rabbi Yehuda, first we understand what is the Braisa saying. So go ahead, Jacob. What's going on? In other words, because he's made about her, lo yisena, why should that matter? So the answer is halokasha. Kedi. Right, what does kedi mean? Bechinam. No. Kedi. I mean, it could be alone. In other words, sometimes the Gemara, sometimes kedi means bechina. Sometimes the Gemara will quote someone and they'll say, "Va'ami lachedi." They said it without a name, you know, free from a name or something like that. Alone, you know. But so if he's made ba, and he paid a ransom, so then he's allowed to marry her. If all he does is be made ba, he's not allowed to marry her. So firstly, why is it that he's allowed? Why is it that he's allowed, as the Gemara will say later, to marry her? Why may he not marry her if he doesn't? Is not the one who's providing the money for her redemption?
Because then there's no doubt that if he likes her,
he might be testifying because he wants to marry her. Might be testifying because he wants to marry her. And by the way, you provide a kind of perverse incentive. If he has a testimony that can basically free her, you put her in the position of him saying, "Well, I'll testify for you if you agree to marry me." Right? You put him in the position. Power creates potential for abuse. So, but I would say that with Hoshe, she's lying in order to be able to marry her. That's the way the Gemara understands. Yes, Yaakov?
You marry one of the Indian that says something. Like, if someone's an Aguna because her husband goes to
Midian,
could you marry
that Indian? There's a Mishnah of Yavamos that says you're not allowed to because Hasar Memcha Ikshus Pe'ul is Vasasamach Ikmech. It's a Mishnah at the end of the second parak. In fact, we did that Mishnah this year. Did we not? At the end of the second parak of Yavamos. It was about Geri Arayos. With that Gabriel Arayos, the Mishnah, I think it should be on that Vava Mabez. Nope, it's not on Chavava Mabez. Because that would be through Chavdalar Mabez. Oh, you know what? I apologize. It's not in the Mishnah there. There it's. One second. No, it's here. It is. It's Chavayim and Aleph. So we didn't do it. Your father. Maybe get me Medina Sayyam, but Amar Bafanay Nyhtavu Fanay Nyhtam. Lo Yisa Sishto. Why? Because we're afraid. It looks bad. He's lying in order to be able to marry. Mace, if you say that I come to Medina Sayyam and says the guy died. Haragtiv, I killed him. Haragnu, we killed him. Lo Yisa Sishto. Rabbi Huda comments that if you say Haragtiv, not only may you not marry his wife, but she may not remarry because you're a Russia by your own testimony. You said I murdered him. So we don't believe you, you know, it's one of those like catch-22 testimonies. Right?
But it's the same logic.
Same logic, right? In other words, because you're an Eid Echad, the Mishnah goes on to say that it would apply by regular Eidus of two as well, but if you're cholates, if an Ishas cholates before a Beis Din, a member of the Beis Din is allowed to marry her. Right? We don't suspect him, let's say, of having given bad advice to the husband telling him not to do Yibam, because he might do that, but his other two Kodayanim are not going to be Ein Adam Chote V'Lalo is the rule. Unless we're concerned about Gomlin, that each one is paying a favor to the other, the general rule is Ein Adam Chote V'Lalo. But when it's one aid, so the aid is Chashud because maybe he's just lying because it's for his own benefit. Now, the Gemara will explain them, why is it when he's paying money and testifying, why is that okay? What, if you grease the wheels? No. Obviously, he's not paying the Beis Din, or the Rabbanim, he's paying the captors. So the Gemara will explain why in a little bit. But, putting the question aside now, why he's believed when he does pay, we understand why he's not believed generally when he testifies. Why, if he testifies he's paying the money, is he believed? The Gemara will say. But now the Gemara says, Mikom Akom. And he thus says, Benkach or Benkach, lo yisena. A Kohen is not allowed to marry her. Why? Shvi Arabic to Shasa. It's the Gemara, Amara Papa. Right. Ema means reread the Braisa, correct it, amend it. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ben Kach Uben Kach Yisena. Rav Papa is Bar Plukta, Rav Huna Breit Rav Yehoshua Omer. Right, in other words, Mibayle. In other words, I hold that you can marry no matter what. But according to you, why do you make any distinction between the two? V'Rabbanon, what do they say? Okay. Now there, by the way, merely is not a good translation. What is Shloshadi Irish Zuzei Bichdi? For nothing. Right? In other words, he's not going to go spend the money to ransom her, then to testify about her so that he can marry her. In other words, if he's spending the money, it's because he knows that she wasn't Nivellas. And therefore, in that case, in other words, look, if this is a guy, he's not going to make what we call a bad investment. A bad investment because maybe if we found out or something will come out later. It's not worth his while to spend the money just so, and then testify just so he can marry her. Obviously, he's only going to do it if he recognizes, he does have self-interest involved, if he recognizes that she is a miucheses, that she's not psulula kahuna. Okay. Now, she's not going to buy damaged goods, let's put it that way. Fine. But Meidba, if he only testifies and it comes at no cost, yeah, maybe he's interested and that's why he's willing to lie. He's willing to say, look, and again, it works both ways. It's a recipe for abuse and it's also a recipe for lying. And he'll say that she wasn't Nivellas so that he can marry her. Okay. Fine. So now, the Gemara continues. Tayashata. Alright, would anybody like to explain this Mishnah? It's the first Mishnah Nida and the third Mishnah Adios. It's actually later. It's a. Is it the last Mishnah or the first Mishnah Adios? It's first Mishnah Adios, actually, I think. I should probably look in the Gilgal Shas, will tell me, right? Mizrach Shas. Oh, no, it's not. The Mishnah is not there. Okay, what is the Din of Dayashata, guys? Anybody? Mati?
I assume it means that she's now, at this moment, she's in Nida. She's
or as I like to say,
like,
Tuma,
now on.
Okay, so, Kalanash and Dayan, correct. A woman discovers that she's bleeding. What were some of the Tanaim concerned about? They were concerned that, so here's the rule. Blood, that's Dam Nida, originates where? In the Makar, in the uterus. When is the Dam, now what happens is, we know, the endometrial lining starts to break down, so you start to get bleeding. What happens to that blood? Well, first it accumulates on the walls of the uterus as the lining is breaking down. Then it works its way out into the bias hachitzon. And then only at some point it comes out la'avir ha'olam, when it leaves the woman's body. The halacha is that dam nida is metame and makes a woman a nida when it reaches the bias hachitzon. It does not need to reach la'avir ha'olam. That's halacha. So the concern here is a woman discovers that she's in nida. She discovers that she's bleeding. The question is, when did the blood first start to happen? When first it starts, you know, a tiny drop of blood is not leaving the uterus. It has to accumulate. Then it gets to the bayis achitam, but even there, it takes some time to work its way out. So we are concerned. They say shema kosle besarecha namidu. Remember that the walls of the vaginal canal, generally speaking, are relatively speaking closed, you know, tight to some degree. So you can have some blood certainly that pools at the top, you know, in the cervix, that before it actually comes out. So the concern was maybe she had blood in the bayis achitzon before she saw it outside, and maybe therefore we should say that she's mitama from the time the blood was in the bayis achitzon. And Shammai says kol anashim dayan shatan. Shammai was the makel. He says no, until you see the dam, it's not there. Okay, Hillel said mipkida lepikida afilu liyamim harbe. Hillel was the biggest machmir, and he said no. Since she has blood now, we assume that the blood was there up until the last time she checked, going all the way back. As some of you can imagine, this could lead to a great discussion of what halachic principle? Chazaka. That's why, by the way, the first one of the most important sugyas about chazaka is the first sugya, Nida. It's on this Mishnah. The Chachamim struck a compromise position. The Chachamim say that a woman is mitama l'mafreya when she finds bleeding, either the lesser of the following two periods, either 24 hours or the last time she did a bedika. So if she did a bedika, her last bedika, more than 24 hours ago, she is mitama l'mafreya, anything she touched and came in contact with, for the last 24 hours. If within the last 24 hours she did a pekida, which is a bedika, literally a visitation, then the dam is only mitame back to the pekida, because if the dam had been there, she would have found it on that pekida. Okay, so far so good. So again, Shammai says, kol anashim dayan shaitan. What you see is when it's there. Hillel says, you go back to the last possible moment you know it couldn't have been there. And the Chachamim take a compromise. The lesser of 24 hours or the last bedika. So the question is, what about a goya? A gioras, I should say. Now, what is the din of nida by a non-Jewish woman? Nothing. There is no tumas nida by a non-Jewish woman. Therefore, a non-Jewish woman who experiences, min haTorah at least, a non-Jewish woman who experiences bleeding, that nida, that dam is not a dam nida. You'll say, okay, very nice, but who cares? What difference does it make? Well, the answer is it does matter, because if she were nida, presumably she would be included in the Torah prohibition, and there would be kares for sleeping with her. Okay, but she's not. Now, here's the question. Now, and I would add the following. If she's a nida, and she bleeds, and then she stops bleeding as a goya, so she's not a nida, and now she converts. And she got her period 2 days ago. She stopped bleeding completely. She converts 2 days after she had gotten her period, very short period. Is she a nida now? And the answer is no. The answer is no, she's not a nida. So now, if you have a woman who converts, and she discovers bleeding, so the maximum amount l'mafreya you could have Tumas Nida would be? How far back could you possibly push it? Should it be Choshesh? If you're Choshesh? What? Time she converted. Because you know, that's like a Bedika. It's not a physical Bedika, but it's a definitional Bedika. Any blood that took place before the moment of conversion was not Dam Nida, she was Tahora. The question is, what do you do when a woman converts and half a day later she sees Dam Nida? Do we say that mitama l'mafreya up until when she converted 12 and a half hours ago? Or did we say, no, that if you don't have a period of 24 hours to which you can attribute it, we don't have any tuma l'mafreya for this woman? So Girish this guy, Ras Adam, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya Shaita, Rabbi Yehuda's Mekel, Rabbi Yosei Omer, Areka Chal Anashim, Mitama Meis, La'esim, Pid, L'Pkida. Which really means what? Obviously, if she was Jewish for more than 24 hours, it's a davar pasha. But it means that you could push it back all the way till her gerus, in theory. That's the first machlokas. What does that have to do with our sugya? Nothing. But you just got an introduction to nida, which will be relevant on some level next year, even though we don't have tumah v'tahara. It is clearly conceptually on some level related to, probably, the prishas avesas. Next part of the b'risa, this is why the b'risa is here. Continue. So Rabbi Yehuda says that she has to wait 3 months to do what? To go to the mikveh? To get married. To get married. She has to wait 3 months. Why, presumably? Because that was the ancient equivalent of a pregnancy test. That's one way of doing a pregnancy test. Wait. If enough time has passed and she's not showing, she's not pregnant.
Why isn't just 1 month when she becomes a
nida? Yeah.
So firstly, you could have bleeding theoretically even if a woman is pregnant. You don't normally get it, obviously. And number two, you'll see that according to Rabbi Meir, certainly, and even a bit according to Rebbe, the Chachamim cast a very wide net in this gzera. They made a gzera slow plug. The din by the, this is a requirement by the, if a woman was married and then got divorced, she needs to wait 3 months before remarry. And obviously you say, well, it would be highly atypical to get married in 3 months unless you were already having an affair with the guy you're marrying, or if it was a long protracted divorce. Now, it may be that when it's a long protracted divorce at a certain point, it may be that we, it's not, well, I don't know, I don't think that's the case. I think it has to be when they first write the get, even if there's a gap between the delivery, the writing of the get and delivery, you can go back to the writing of the get. But I don't think, just because the marriage is broken down, they weren't living together, you still, it doesn't satisfy the requirement of Shloshes Chodshei Avchana. If the husband were away on a business trip, climbing Mount Everest, and he hadn't been home in 6 months, and then he falls off Mount Everest, okay, hopefully leaving, having children behind so she doesn't need chalitza, she still has to wait 3 months. Ah, but it's essentially impossible that she's pregnant, certainly not from him. Doesn't matter, because it's a gzeras lo plug. That's the gzera. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says she needs to wait shloshes chodshei avchana. Rabbi Yosei mate li'oris v'nasen miyad. So I'll leave you with one last thought here before we give the answer. What's the question? What? What? What does this have to do with the price of tea in China? There are two questions to be had here. One, which is answerable, you have to think about it. The other, which the Gemara will say, is why it's a ridiculous question. The one that's a reasonable assumption is that what? That a Gioras is Nivellus. She's assumed to be Cheskas Nivellus. And therefore, assuming that you lump together Giyara Shivcha and Shvuya, then they're Becheskas being Nivalos. And that's why Shvuya is Becheskas Nivalos. If Rabbi Huda doesn't believe a Shvuya is Becheskas Nivalos, why does he believe a Giyores is Becheskas Nivalos? It's not really a Kasha, as the Gemara will say. So that's both the Kasha and the problem that the Gemara will have with it, which the Gemara will therefore say it's not really a Kasha. And with this, we will resume, God willing, tomorrow. Okay.